John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And I'm going to stop right there. This scripture starts out, this reading I did, with "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, I'll be honest with you. Well, I usually am. But I hate saying that sometimes. I say, well, you've been lying to us before? No. No. But it's something I don't normally tell people. When I read words like this, "If you love me, keep my commandments," that used to really bother me. Actually, in essence, it scares me. Now, this is mainly in me, and it's because of the fact that I know I am absolutely no good at keeping anything, much less commandments. But this statement is from my Lord, and this statement is to his disciples, of which I consider myself to be. Because when I read this book, I read it in context, but I also read it as he is speaking to my brethren. And what he said to them is true to me. What he's done for them, he's done for me. And what he will do for them, he will do for me. Because his promises are forever. His word is forever, and he changes not. Same yesterday, today, and forever. But, so as I read this statement as pertaining to me, I know I can do nothing to please God. And that bothers me still, to this day. Because I want to be able to please God. I would really like to be able to please God. And I want to keep his commandment. But I am incapable in and of myself. And Romans 7 put it this way: wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. And you start off with that statement: the law is holy, but I'm not. The commandment is holy, just, and good, and I am none of the above. There are things for me to do. There are things for me to do that I want to do because I love him. Because I want to please him. However, Romans 7 goes on and says, I don't do the things I should do. And when I do the things I should do, evil's still in me. And I know that. And even though I know it, and I know it's the way it's supposed to be, I know it's the way I am, that doesn't mean I like it. You will never see in this section of scripture I read, or any other scripture that I read, that we are to keep his commandments in order to get anything, to get his love, to get his acceptance, to get his forgiveness, no matter what anyone else says in any other pulpit in anywhere, America, the world, ever, doesn't matter. I am to do certain things because he loved me and chose me and made himself known to me. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't love him, you're not going to know what his commandments are. You'll get it wrong. Because the first thing people think of are the Ten Commandments. I don't think that's what he's referring to here. Thank you, sir. I don't think it's what he's referring to either. If you really want to narrow it down, actually Christ did in Matthew 22 to two commandments. That's not what he's talking about either. The first and the great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. I can't do the first one, I can't do the second one. I can't. I'm not even close. But there are a couple of commandments I have a chance with. In the previous chapter, in verse 34, this is the words of Christ speaking, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That one I might have a chance with. Because Christ loved us freely. Christ loved us truly, fully, totally, without regard for what we could do for him, which was nothing. Now, I will fully admit that some people are harder to love than others. And I will fully admit sometimes being one of those people. But I'm going to tell you something. It's always easier to love the brethren if you love Christ. If you love Christ, it's easier to love the brethren. Because you have someone you love in common. Because I think, no, matter of fact, I know, it's easier to love those that love the Christ of God. Now, I don't always know who loves Christ, but there are those who I have a good hope that they love Christ. And those are the kind of people I like hanging around. We love him. Each and every individual here that loves him because he first loved us. I love him because he first loved me. I love the Father because he first loved me. I love the Holy Spirit because he first loved me. And I love the brethren because he first love me. That's the commandment I believe he's talking about here. And after that statement, he makes this statement. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father. Flat statement. No questions. Jesus Christ said he would pray the Father. Now you know what that means. whatever he prays for is going to happen. Christ's prayers were always answered yes, because he knew what he was doing. My prayers are mostly answered no, because I don't know what I'm doing. And usually I try to end my prayers when I think about it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Because that's what I want. And that's what I don't know a lot of times. If you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you'd pray this mountain be gone. Well, if I knew God wanted the mountain gone, I'd pray for it. And it happened. I don't know. But then the Spirit maketh intercession. Thankfully, a lot of my prayers don't have anything to do with me. But I still get answered no a lot of times. And surprised sometimes when I get answered yes. Because I asked for the wrong things. And the only time anybody's prayer is answered yes is when that prayer is in the total and complete acceptance of the will of God that he wants to perform that which has been asked. That's it. And you can take that whole prayer for health and wealth, and God wants everybody to be healthy, God wants everybody to be wealthy. And you can throw that stuff in the garbage can, because that's what it is. Is garbage. It's a lie. God will provide for his family. Now, whether it's enough provision that you think you need, or I think I need, that may be a whole other matter. But God will take care of his children. He has promised it. He will perform it. And that doesn't mean we get anything we ask for, just because of our positive mental attitude. Anyhow, Jesus Christ said, I will pray the Father. Then he makes another flat statement, and he shall send. I'm going to pray for it. He's going to send it. I'm going to pray for it. God's going to do it. The Father is going to perform it. Jesus Christ's prayers were always in the will of the Father, because he told them, I and my Father are one. And they are. I'm going to pray, and he shall give you another comforter. The Father gives the comforter at the asking of the Son. The Son prays, the Father gives, and the comforter comes. Notice he didn't say, he's going to send you a comforter if you'll accept him. If you'll let him have his way. If you don't grieve him. If you don't reject him. No, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send it to you. Actually, he says he's going to give it to you. He didn't send the Spirit just willy-nilly. And the Spirit doesn't go willy-nilly. The Spirit goes whither it listeth, whether it wants to. And you can't say where it comes, whether it goes. Nothing has changed about the Holy Spirit either. Because the Holy Spirit is also one with the Father and the Son. Christ said, I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to give, and you're going to get. That's the way it works. He shall give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. So Christ prays, the Father gives, and the Comforter's coming forever. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, what do you see man doing in that scripture? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In that scripture. The Son prays, the Father gives, and the Comforter's coming. And He's going to abide in you forever. Now, I looked in one of the little things, and it's kind of cute, actually, one of the commentaries, where it says that the Holy Spirit will be in you for as long as you shall live. And I like that. Because that's it forever. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That qualifies us forever. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the Holy Spirit shall abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. That's who the Comforter is. Yeah. The Spirit of truth. There's no lie in the Holy Spirit of God. There's no falsehood in the Comforter. There's no error in the Spirit of truth, because it's the Spirit of truth. Now, I might lie. I try not to most of the time, unless some woman is asking me an opinion on fashion. But I try not to lie. But I'm sure I do. Matter of fact, I know it too. I might even bear false witness. I may be in error. I try not to be. But that all comes from me. None of that comes from the Comforter. That's all in me. And nowhere else. But the Spirit of truth was prayed for by the Son and given by the Father to His people. This is specific, because the next part of this verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, people don't like the fact that we make exclusive statements. I'm sorry, I didn't start it. Christ did. You got a problem with it, you have to take it up with Him. I didn't do it. Young's literal translation puts it this way: whom the world is not able to receive. Just in case you weren't sure, what cannot mean? The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. And when His people receive the Spirit of truth, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. We're still here, but we are not of the world. God's children are not. But the world cannot receive this Spirit of truth, no matter how much prayer is made at the front of a church. No matter how much persuasion, emotionalism from a preacher standing behind a pulpit. And there are some of them out there who can tell some really good stories. and who are really, really good at persuading people to their viewpoint. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Only God's children can receive the Spirit of truth. And that choice was made before the foundation of the world. I don't like that part either. But I do. I don't want a God who can change his mind. I have enough problems with myself changing my mind. I don't need problems with a God who changes his mind. That's what the God said in the Old Testament. I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you're not consumed. Because if he chose me before the foundation of the world and he can change his mind, it's not going to be to my good. There's nowhere to go but down. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And if God changes your mind, what's you're sunk. But he doesn't change. And the Spirit of truth cannot be received by the world. No matter how much the world would pray for it, or no matter how much we would pray that it would. Christ said, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. And I believe him. And everything and every word in this book bears out this truth. In various and sundry places, wherever you want to go. Years ago, when Walter and I were stumbling through some of this stuff on our own, well, we thought we were kind of on our own. Once you begin to see the truth of God's work, of Christ's work, and the Spirit's work, and you start reading this book, it is amazing how many times it's in there. It's everywhere, Old Testament, New Testament alike. It's everywhere. Just the little simple fact of that one statement, where I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Then I hear preachers get up and they stand, and I was there, and they say, well, people were saved one way in the Old Testament, people were saved another way here, and then they break it down even further. There were different dispensations, and there was the garden, and then there was out of the garden, and then there was the judges, and then there was the kings, and then there were, and there are differences. But the differences is in men. God has never changed. Anyone saved in the Old Testament was saved by Jesus Christ. Anyone saved in the New Testament was saved by Jesus Christ. Anyone saved now is saved by Jesus Christ. And anyone saved in the book of Revelations is going to be saved by Jesus Christ. Through his work, his complete, perfect, substitutionary sacrifice. And in its time, in his time and in his place, the Spirit will give life to those chosen people. Did it in the Old Testament, did it in the New Testament, does it now, and will do it in the future. Jesus Christ has not changed. God has not changed, and the Holy Spirit has never changed and will not change. And this is the Comforter that the Father has sent to us. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God. And I like the way he put it here. Whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit is a person. The Spirit of truth is a person. Now, he is known in some circles as the third person of the Trinity. I don't know about the numbering system. What I have in the book here says these three are one. Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And these three are one. Because these three agree in one. They agree. And they agree because they are one. They agree in purpose, they agree in promise, and they agree in results. They agree in works. It's His work, not ours. They agree about heaven, earth, angels, man, life, and death. They agree in one because they are one. And I don't understand that kind of agreement. I don't understand how three can be one. But that's what it says. It's the truth from the Spirit of truth that these three are one. I believe it, even what I don't understand. But the world is incapable of receiving Him, the Spirit of truth. The world and those of the world don't have the capacity, the ability, or the will to receive the Spirit of truth, who is the Comforter of the people of God. Why? Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. They can't see Him, and they can't know Him, and actually they think we're a little crazy for talking about Him. Now there are places. Now, luckily I haven't been there, but I've heard Him on the radio and I've seen Him on TV. And I've talked with people that have been there. Walter been to a place, or actually a friend of his went to a place, well, you were there, where the Holy Spirit couldn't make it up to the balcony. It was down in the main congregation, and the fellow was up in the balcony running the tape machine. He said, "Boy, I wish I could have been down there where the Spirit was." Yeah, well, yeah. I don't want to say this Yahoo, you know. He's an acquaintance. Okay, yes, that's true. That's true. And shame on you for being there. Yeah. But stuff like that doesn't hurt the child of God. And sometimes you actually do have to see some things to believe them. But they think we're crazy because we think the Spirit of God is a person. We think Christ is real. We think the Father is real. We know the Holy Spirit is real. We know God is real. We know the Son is real. But there are people out there who think He can't get up to the second floor from the first floor of a building. No, what it was there was a bunch of nonsense going down on the floor, people hooping and hollering and all stirred up amongst themselves, and He couldn't do it by Himself. He had to be in that group down on the floor in order to cut loose. And He wanted to cut loose, Walter, and He wasn't able. I've been there, seen it. You know, it's like, it does have a tendency sometimes to remind you why National Geographic comes to West Virginia every now and then. Sorry. It's true. Now, how they always end up in Jolo, I'm never sure. But I know why. Because that's where the show is. They want to see people handle snakes. Why? Because they think those people are crazy, and they're right. But see, this is the secular world, will lump us in that same category. They don't see the difference. because they don't see the Spirit of truth, and neither do they know Him. They don't know the truth of God. And I'll tell you this, they don't want to know the Spirit of truth. Now that's a spooky thought for me now. I was the same way 20-some years ago. And I kind of remember that, but it seems so alien now. They don't want to know the truth. And that show, what was it, X-Files? And that fellow Mulder always had that poster up on his wall. The truth is out there. No, actually, it's in this book.
That's what it's saying.
And people will look anywhere except for in this book. And people will read anything into this book except for what it says. This time, I'm going to quit. The promise Christ made here in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He has promised it. He did it.
Yeah.
And He'll do it. He is coming again. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's another scripture. Let me find it here. I actually write this stuff down so I don't have to go looking for it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. Strong's Concordance has it almost like bereft or bereaved, like a sense of loss, because He's getting ready to go. He's already told them, I'm going. And where I'm going, you can't come now. You can come later. Because in My Father's house are many mansions, many apartments, many rooms, many abodes. And I have prepared a place for you. But even here now, Matthew 18 and 20 put it this way, for where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. That's His promise to us. And He's here. Because we are gathered in His name. Hopefully led by the Spirit of truth. And He is in our midst. And He will not leave us comfortless. He has not left us comfortless. But He will come again. He is coming again. And some things are going to change. Except He is not going to change. He was King before. He's King now. And when He comes back, He's going to be King. And there are some people who don't know it. But there's going to be some people who learn it. But the world cannot receive Him. That's scary. And that'll be true even when He comes again. There's things that's going to happen where, you know, it still amazes me to this day, Walter, when we read some of that and we talked about it in times past, that they talk about a 1,000-year reign, and some people don't like to talk about that. But it's in there. The amazing thing to me, though, is after a 1,000-year reign, where Christ is in the world, ruling it as king, and the devil is loose for a season, immediately, people are going to rebel.
Yeah, sure.
People are going to rebel. and take up arms, and then it's going to be some other things happen. Even in the book of Revelations, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. They cannot. And they will not. And as soon as they think they got a chance, they're going to rebel. It's going to cost them. It's going to cost them dearly. And right now, we're living in that Chinese curse thing. May you live in interesting times. There's some more coming. But I trust Him. What He's promised, He will perform. And He has not left me comfortless. And by His grace, I will not live in fear. Because I haven't received again the spirit of fear, spirit of bondage unto fear, but the spirit of adoption now, whereby I can cry, Abba, Father. And I trust Him that He's working out things just perfectly. So perfectly, I don't get it some days. But it's His work, and it's His will, and it's His way, and I'm fine with that. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time, this place. But most of all, thank You for Your Son, our Lord, who is coming again, and who is the Lord of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.